FM.
Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street. Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Let's pray, family. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for this time together in fellowship. Thank you for the word that's going to go forth to meet the needs of each and every one of our listeners. Thank you, Father, that your word does not come back to you void, but will accomplish those things that you have set out for our divine purposes. Father, we remind Satan right now that he's defeated and under our feet. He cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, as always, we're going to be very careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Thank you, Father, for this time together in fellowship. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, last week we began a whole new series titled The Battle in Your Mind, Keeping Sexually Pure. And I had reminded everyone that this information is so relevant today, even in the body of Christ. So I want to pick up where we left off, and that was discussing the five principles that we are going to look at very closely during this time together. So let me go ahead and repeat the five principles and continue from there. So again, I will be sharing with you five principles in winning the war of good over evil that rages in our mind. These principles can be applied to every area of your life, not just immoral sex. The five principles we will examine in detail are: principle number one, our thoughts always precede our actions. Principle number two, Bible knowledge used properly always wins battles. Principle number three, ignorance and victory cannot cohabitate. Principle number four, a look into our past will help us to understand our present situation. And principle number five, our thoughts bring life or death. Again, these principles can be applied to every area of our life. However, for this teaching, we will be examining in detail the issue of sexual purity and how to apply these five principles to our lives to win the battle over sexual immorality, including non-marital sex, adultery, same-sex sex, group sex, internet sex, masturbation, oral sex, and etc. So this particular teaching is going to be very straightforward. I trust that it will not offend your sensibilities, but I think it's well needed in the body of Christ because we're hearing about and seeing in our own churches situations that arise from the pulpit as well as in the congregation. So I want to take time these next few months to really examine why these situations are arising. And basically, to sum it in summary, is that there is a battle going on in the mind, and these individuals who are falling short of the Word of God have not yet taken control of their mind with the Word of God. So, let's start off. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to be reading 18 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. If you are able, please pull out your Bible. Otherwise, just listen in. And as we started out last time we were together, I will be reading out of the Living Bible, the Living Bible. I'm going to read. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, evil men who push away the truth from them. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put his knowledge in their hearts since earliest times. men have seen the earth and sky and all God made, and have known of his existence and great eternal power. So they will have no excuse when they stand before God at judgment day. Yes, they knew about him all right, but they wouldn't admit it or worship him or even thank him for all his daily care. And after a while, they began to think up silly ideas of what God was like and what he wanted them to do. End result was that their foolish minds became dark and confused. Claiming themselves to be wise without God, they became utter fools instead. And then, instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they took wood and stone and made idols for themselves, carving them to look like mere birds and animals and snakes and puny men. So God let them go ahead into every sort of sex sin and do whatever they wanted to, yes, vile and sinful things with each other's bodies. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. So they prayed to the things God made, but wouldn't obey the blessed God who made these things. That is why God let go of them and let them do all their evil things, so that even their women turned against God's natural plan for them and indulge in sex sin with each other. And the men, instead of having a normal sex relationship with women, burned with lust for each other, men doing shameful things with other men, and as a result, getting paid within their own souls with the penalty they so richly deserved. So it was that when they gave God up and would not even acknowledge him, God gave them up to doing everything their evil minds could think of. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness and sin, of greed and hate, envy, murder, fighting, lying, bitterness, and gossip. They were backbiters, haters of God, insolent, proud braggers, also thinking of new ways of sinning and continually being disobedient to their parents. They tried to misunderstand, broke their promises, and were heartless, without pity. They were fully aware of God's death penalty for these crimes, yet they went right ahead and did them anyway, and considered others, or rather encouraged others, to do them too. Family, I know I said this several times last week, but we, because we have been given a free will, can say no to God. We can say no to the Holy Spirit. But if we do, we are putting ourselves in jeopardy because we know what the Word of God has told us to do, and yet we continue to reject it. And as a result, we bring that penalty of death upon ourselves. We don't want that for our family members, for ourselves, or even our community. We want what God has already provided through His Word, which is His best. A life of abundance, a life of prosperity, a life that brings joy and peace. But if we continue to sin against the Word of God, if we continue to say no to God, then that penalty will be on us, and it will be our fault. So it's very imperative that we renew the mind with the Word of God. And that takes time, and it takes effort. I want to continue explaining from the scriptures, how sin, immoral sin, will come against us and take us graveyard dead. So let's continue with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse number 3 through 8. Again, the Living Bible says, "For God wants you to be holy and pure, and to keep clear of all sexual sin, so that each of you will marry in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion, as the brethren do, or rather the heathen do, in their ignorance of God and His ways. And this also is God's will, that you never cheat in this matter by taking another man's wife, because the Lord will punish you terribly for this, as we have solemnly told you before. For God has not called us to be dirty-minded and full of lust, but to be holy and clean. If anyone refuses to live by these rules, he is not disobeying the rules of men, but of God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Again, sometimes we think, oh, well, these sins that I commit with regards to my body, I'm doing it with concession with another adult, and that's just between the two of us. Not so. God says when you do this, you're not disobeying men's rules, but you're disobeying his rules, his commandments, his principles that are set for our benefit. So family, pay attention. Think about what you're doing. Use the Word of God to wash over all those thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that come against the Word of God. That's how Satan has been able to infiltrate and be successful in the church community. And we're seeing it every day. We're seeing our loved ones who are in church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, taken out because they did not get their life or their mind in order. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13, one verse, verse number 4. It says, honor your marriage and its vows, and be pure, for God will surely punish all those who are immoral or commit adultery. So there is a penalty to our sins. The scripture says that your sins will be found out, and the wages of sin is death. So we don't want to bring death to ourselves. We want to live in the goodness and mercy of the Lord. And that comes with, first of all, renewing the mind with the Word of God, applying that Word to our lives, and moving forward in Him. God loves us so much that He has made sure through His Holy Scriptures that we are warned of the consequences for disobeying. That's what these scriptures were about that I just read. This is what He's telling us. He's giving us fair warning of what will happen if we disobey His commandments. Always remember that the standard of keeping sexually pure is high because the cost of disobedience is very great. It could cost you your life. So, family, think. Use the Word of God. Use the power in the name of Jesus to keep yourself from falling back into that sinful nature. Last time we were together, I was talking about resurrecting the old man. You know, we are responsible for keeping that corrupt man under. And it's a result of washing our mind with the Word of God, with applying those principles to our lives so that we can walk in victory every day of our life. So, let's continue with the Word, because the Word is so clear as to how we should operate in this earth realm, and it gives us complete directions. You know, we say, oh, these are God's words, this is Holy Scripture, and all of that is true. But really, when it comes down to Christians, this is our guidebook for everyday living. This is what tells us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, so that we can live in victory, in the victory of our salvation. See, we could have received Christ as our Savior and Lord, but until we actually apply the Word to our lives, He's not on the throne in terms of our own lifestyle. He's on the throne, sitting at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, but with regards to my life, your life, the lives of others, we personally have to keep Him on the throne by learning His Word and then applying the Word. Learning the Word and then applying the Word. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. We're going to read verses 22 and 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. I just made a statement about how the standard of keeping, keeping sexually pure is high because the cost of disobedience is very great. It could cost your life. Here are some scriptures that actually state this based on what God has commanded us to do. Now, again, Romans chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. But now you are free from the power of sin and are slaves of God. and his benefits you include, excuse me, and his benefits to you include holiness and everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I've been under the Word for some years now. I went to ministry school and graduated in the year 2000. Since then, I have continued my studies and earned a doctorate in theology. I've also got ordained, and I have been ministering since 2000, well, even prior to that, but I've, as an ordained minister, I've been ministering, licensed, and so forth. And every year, I look back and I think about all the wonderful things that have been accomplished through the Word of God in my life. But I know that God is exceedingly greater than I can even imagine or experience at this point in my life. So I look forward, as you should too, to the days that are coming. Because if we continue to stay steadfast on this Word, the glorious life that God originally intended way back in that Garden of Eden are in our midst. We can live out our lives in victory, every area of our life, spirit, soul, and body, if we choose to. Just like Adam and Eve had free will to eat of the fruit or to not eat of the fruit, we have that same free will. We can choose to sin or we can choose to be obedient to God's Word. Family, let's be obedient. It's for our best interest. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to be reading verses 9 through 11. Again, we're talking about the high cost of disobedience. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 11. It says, "Don't you know that those doing such things have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who live immoral lives, who are idolater worshipers, adulterers, or homosexuals, will have no share in his kingdom. Neither will thieves or greedy people, drunkards, slanderers, or robbers. There was a time when some of you were just like that, but now your sins are washed away, and you are set free apart for God. And he has accepted you because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God have done for you." Again, all of us have a past. All of us have come short of the glory of God. We were sinners sinning. But once we accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we were cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Our spirit man was dead and now is alive in Christ Jesus. So we now have the capacity, the authority, power, and dominion to say no to sin and Satan and all his demonic forces. But if you continue to rise up that old sin that you enjoyed doing, because everybody had a sin that they enjoyed doing, otherwise you would not have been doing it, then you will squash that still small voice. You will continue to access that old man and bring him forward. We don't want that. We want to stand in the newness of our Lord and Savior. All right, let's continue right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to drop down to verse 17 through 20, starting with verse 17. "If you give yourselves to the Lord, you and Christ are joined together as one person. That is why I say to run from sex sin. No other sin affects the body as this one does. When you sin this sin, it is against your own body. Haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you, and that he lives within you? Your own body does not belong to you, for God has bought you with a great price. So use every part of your body to give glory back to God because he owns it." So here we're told that this body that we now house, that spirit, regenerated spirit in Jesus Christ, really no longer belongs to you. It belongs to the Heavenly Father. Now, here's the good news. As a result of that, then we can live in that victory because we know that the body has not been redeemed in the spirit, in the natural. It has not been redeemed. In the spirit it has, but not in the natural. And that's why the body still craves all those things it did prior to Jesus the Christ. But you have the power, I have the power, in the name of Jesus and in his word, to make sure that we stay focused on God's word and not Satan's deception. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 26 through 31. These verses, again, that I'm reading is letting you know the high cost of disobedience. Well, of course, we have the answer to all of this, and that is in Jesus. But right now, we're setting up a foundation to first, as we did last week, to understand Satan's tactics. Today, to understand why it's to our best interest to work the word in our individual lives and keep that old man under our feet, because he's dead, don't resurrect him. So these scriptures are giving us that foundation. We will continue on, of course, with our study on the victory in Jesus. But today, we're setting down the foundation. Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 26 through 31. If anyone sins deliberately by rejecting the Savior after knowing the truth of forgiveness, this sin is not covered by Christ's death. There is no way to get rid of it. There will be nothing to look forward to but the terrible punishment of God's awful anger, which will consume all his enemies. A man who refuses to obey the laws given by Moses was killed without mercy if there were two or three witnesses to his sin. Think how much more terrible the punishment will be for those who have trampled underfoot the Son of God and treated his cleansing blood as though it were common and unhallowed, and insulted and outraged the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to his people. Those of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord have been forgiven. We've been forgiven of our past, present, and future sins. That's how precious the blood of Jesus is. That's how powerful his act of redemption is. But if we continue to do what we know is against God's word, are we truly saved or are we playing a game? So family, we're going to need to examine ourselves. Not our wife, not our husband, not our neighbor, not the people at church, but ourselves. Are we living up to what the Word of God has called us to do? Are we truly saved? Have we really given ourselves to the Lord? Have we repented of that sin? And yes, as you first get started in the things of God, it will take time and it will take much effort to put down all the sinful acts that you were doing prior to Jesus. But it's possible. It is mandatory if we want to live that victorious life on this earth realm. You know, we look at many of the church members and we think, you know, they seem so beat down, broke down. That wasn't what God intended. God wanted us to live in abundance, more than enough. But we have to do a self-examination to find out why we're in the situation we are at, and then make corrections based on God's word so that we can live out that victorious life that he paid his precious blood for, his life. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 22. We're going to read verses 12 through 15. 12 through 15. These are all scriptures that validate that obeying, or rather disobeying God's word, has a high cost. All right, Revelation 22, I'm going to start with verse number 12 through 15. See, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, to repay everyone according to the deeds he has done. I am the A and the Z, the beginning and the end, the first and last. Blessed forever are all who are washing their robes to have the right to enter in through the gates of the city and to eat the fruit from the tree of life. Outside the city are those who have strayed away from God, and the sorcerers, and the immoral, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and all who love to lie and do so." All right, so here in the book of Revelation is telling us that there's going to be a day, the second coming. And prior to the second coming, it is our responsibility to keep these robes that Jesus provided for with his blood clean, fresh, pure, ready to be received before the city gates of our Heavenly Father, and then to eat of the tree of life. Oh, we just thank you, Father, right now for all that has been accomplished in our lives. And Father, as we walk forward, we're going to continue to learn and do those things that you've called us to do. Family, my time is up. I thank you for yours. But I trust that next week as we come together, we will continue to add to our understanding. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy